talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start a ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Good afternoon and happy Independence Day weekend to everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. That was Toby Keith with the very patriotic courtesy of the red, white, and blue, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home. And special thanks to our show producer today for coming up with today's home theme song. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also published Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every January, and the Charleston Fall Home Show coming up August 23rd through the 25th, and they're both at the Gilliard Center downtown Charleston. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. Today's show is coming to you from Wholesale Appliance, and we'll be talking with Robert Walters with Wholesale Appliance Center in Mount Pleasant. Also, Chris Click with CK Contracting. Eugenia Marshall with Contract Exteriors. And then we have a bonus interview with author Jennifer Barry Hawes. She's the author of the new book about the Charleston church shooting. Have a great weekend. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. Today's radio show is coming to you from Wholesale Appliance Center in Mount Pleasant, and their beautiful showroom is located at 3130 Highway 17 North in Mount Pleasant. And now we're talking with Robert Walters with Wholesale Appliance Center. How are you doing, Robert?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Robert, take a moment and tell everybody about Wholesale Appliance Center.
Well, Wholesale Appliance Center is a locally owned company that's been in business for over 30 years, and we have three locations. We have one over at West Ashley, 1518 Ashley River Road. That's our main store. Mm-hmm. Then we have a store over on Rivers Avenue next to the Yale Fashion Ice Cream. And then we have our beautiful showroom here in Mount Pleasant.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. And your showroom in West Ashley, that's kind of like the main store for Wholesale Appliance. And the owner, Tim Corbett, you always see him in there. He's still going to the gym, and he's got those big giant log-like arms, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Very intimidating, but he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, I'm a little envious of how in shape he is. But the Wholesale Appliance Center here in Mount Pleasant, now this is an amazing showroom. It seems like it's bigger than the West Ashley store. Is that accurate?
It's probably about 3,000 square feet larger.
Uh-huh. And let's take our listeners on a walkthrough of the Wholesale Appliance Center here in Mount Pleasant. What will people experience when they first walk in the door and as they're shopping for appliances?
Okay. Yeah, when you first walk in, you'll look to the left, you'll see all of our laundry. We'll have top loaders, front loaders, stacked laundry. Very good selection of that. And then as we turn right, you're going to see four or five rows of refrigeration. Mm-hmm. We'll have the French doors, the four doors, side-by-side, cabinet depth, shallow depth, top freezer refrigerators. Then you'll see a complete lineup of the upright freezers, ranges, and the over-the-range microwaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we're going to go down the right side of our store, which is divided up into vignettes. So in this first one, you're going to see Viking appliances, Frigidaire, Decor. We'll go to the next one.
Those are all the high-end
brands. Yeah, those are most of the high-end.
Go in a lot of custom homes.
Yeah, absolutely. And then our next vignette probably is our most popular one. Right now, it's our Cafe series. And the first thing we'll look at is that new French store double oven. And it's in the black slate, which is one of the new colors that are out. Very attractive.
What's the brand for the Cafe?
It's GE.
GE, okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I see the GE appliances in a lot of the kitchens that we photograph for Charleston Home and Design magazine.
Yeah, very attractive and very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see the new stainless steel suite, and from anywhere from there, cooktops, dual fuel ranges, you'll have dishwashers, all that's play. But one of the trendiest things right on the other side here is their new matte white color. We'll have the matte white range refrigerator, dishwasher, and microwave on display.
Now, the matte white, that's different from the white refrigerators that that we all remember maybe we had in our homes when we were living at home with Mom and Dad. And it's when you say matte, that's kind of a flat color, a flat finish?
That's correct. It's going to be a flat finish. Then it's going to have the gold knobs on the range and the gold handles.
Mm, very nice. Is that starting to, you mentioned that's a trend. Are you seeing people starting to choose some of the white appliances versus the stainless, which has, you know, been a mainstay?
Yeah, stainless is definitely still the most popular, but you can definitely see the trend is shifting. The colors, the black stainless, the matte white, and the matte black are definitely starting to get more popular.
The black stainless or even the white matte that you're talking about, will that leave fingerprints when you touch it like the stainless will?
Absolutely not.
Nice.
That's I think is why everybody's loving it.
Gotcha. Another reason I'm just venturing a guess here is that for I would say the last 5 years or so, everybody wants that look of marble in their kitchen. That's why quartz has gotten so popular these days, because it mimics the look of marble. And so you've got the white countertops, and every time I interview a cabinet company, they tell me 99 out of 100 kitchens are white cabinets, painted white. So I can see how the matte white or even the black stainless, how that could be a nice complement to the white cabinets and the white countertops too.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, my first white kitchen went into a place that had all white cabinets, so everything was white.
Gotcha.
And, that was the very first job I did with that.
You know, you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
That's an easy choice. You know, if you go with like a stained cabinet, that was kind of like my mother's style. She really liked that. So, it, but But those trends kind of come in and out, and white is just a very safe bet, and it's got a great look too.
Oh, absolutely.
Like the appliance companies, the manufacturers obviously have picked up on that and are trying to respond to the demand for all those white kitchens, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's definitely trending even in the luxury lineup of appliances, so I definitely believe it's coming back.
Well, continue on the tour of the store.
All right. We're going to jump over to the center of our showroom. Mm-hmm. That's our probably our most prestigious part of the showroom. And the first thing you'll see is the new Decor Modernist lineup. Decor has definitely upped their game as far as appliances. Mm-hmm. And the first thing we'll look at is a 36-inch gas cooktop. Sits flush with the countertops. Then you've got the new refrigeration that's all stainless steel on the inside, push-to-open doors, which is pretty cool. Then their dual-fuel range, and then their double oven that actually has steam in it. Mm. And that double oven has got to be the most luxurious-looking oven on the market.
Mm.
It's beautiful. And then from there, we're going to step around to the inside of this centerpiece. You'll see more Decor appliances. Then you're going to see Miele, their new dishwashers, their 48-inch dual-fuel range. And probably their most popular piece is their steam oven.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we're going to step to the back, and we've got a huge monogram kitchen. And it's showcasing their new columns, which are absolutely gorgeous. Open it up. It's got backlit shelves in it. Then we've got our 48-inch pro-style refrigerator. And then we've got the 48-inch range, wall ovens, cooktops, dishwashers, and the rest.
Wow.
Absolutely beautiful.
Great, great selection here at the Wholesale Appliance Center in Mount Pleasant. And I did want to ask you, a lot of people have this mindset that if they go to one of the big box stores, they're going to get a better deal on their appliances than going to like an independent appliance store like Wholesale Appliance Center. What do you say to that?
Well, I'd say there's a misconception out there, and I would probably feel the same way. Mm-hmm. But Wholesale Appliance Center is an independent store that is also a member of Nationwide. And that's a group of independent stores that have pulled together, and that gives them the leverage to buy appliances at the deep discounts, just like our competitors.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what really separates us from that part is the experience that our sales associates have.
Mm-hmm. And when you say experience, the people here at Wholesale Appliance Center, you folks have been in the business a while and know the ins and outs of all of the appliances that you have here, as well as you know, what's going to work in terms of the installation, right?
Right. Tim, I believe 98% of our sales staff at all three stores has a minimum of 10 years experience, with probably over 50% has 15 to 20 years experience. So mm-hmm. they're very experienced salespeople here.
Gotcha. Well, that's great. Well, how can folks get more information about Wholesale Appliance Center?
First, you can look us up online at www.wholesaleappliancecenter.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could call any of our three stores. We've got West Ashley at 843-556-0917. Our Rivers Avenue store is 843-871-9100. And then here at Mount Pleasant is 843-884-2010.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking to Robert Walters with Wholesale Appliance Center in Mount Pleasant. And special thanks to Wholesale Appliance Center for hosting today's radio show. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And today's radio show is coming to you from the big, beautiful Wholesale Appliance Showroom in Mount Pleasant, located at 3130 Highway 17 North, and now we're talking with custom builder and remodeler Chris Click with CK Contracting. How you doing, Chris?
Doing well, Tim. Thank you.
Good. Chris, take a moment and tell everyone about CK Contracting.
Sure, Tim. CK Contracting, like you said, we build and remodel custom homes. We've been in the Charleston area since 2002. Currently, our footprint basically goes up to McClellanville, and we'll go down to Johns Island, and we service pretty much everything in between, mainly along the coastlines.
How long have you had CK Contracting, and how long have you been in the business?
Oh, well, CK Contracting started in March of 2002. And we first started as CK Construction. Still, some of my vendors have us as CK Construction. But when we incorporated, someone grabbed the CK Construction before we did. So, ever since 2007, we've been CK Contracting. Mm-hmm. And the start of my business, or start of me getting into this industry, my stepfather was a builder, and I only did this once, mm-hmm. but I cut school, I think, in first grade. I actually told my mom, I said, "Mom, I don't feel good today." And she said, "Well, if you're not going to school, you're going to work with your stepfather." Mm-hmm. I did that once. but nonetheless, the job site enticed me at a young age. I liked being around the job site. I liked seeing a finished product. That's something that motivates me still to this day, the finished product. You could say I had a very early start in mm-hmm. in home building.
How do you think your personality lends itself to being a successful contractor?
They have a saying, attitude gets you latitude, and I would agree with that. You have to have the right attitude. You have to have the right mindset. You have to have a can-do, will-do, get-it-done mentality. There's a lot of factors in home building, in remodeling, in construction, and they can seem overwhelming. Just got about 2 months of rain in about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. that's one factor that is completely out of your hands, the weather. So, you can get setbacks, weather being one of them. And if you have the right, attitude of, you know, we'll get it done, we'll figure it out, we'll work on this for you. And keep your client informed throughout the whole process as well. Mm-hmm. Communication is very important. We often say this is a temporary marriage, and what makes marriage work? Communication.
Right.
Everyone agrees with that. So, you know, it's one of my jobs is to try to figure out how to best communicate with the client. Some people are better with texting, some email, some phone calls. So we try to adapt to that and communicate the best we can. Mm-hmm. A quick shoot the text message of what the schedule might be tomorrow, more so for a remodel. Oh, by the way, you know, people will be at your house tomorrow mm-hmm. at 7:30 in the morning. So keep the communication going, and always keep your eye on the end goal. What, you know, why you're there, what you're there for, okay? So if CK Contracting got hired for, let's say, a kitchen remodel, and they're maybe the subcontractor disrupted their morning at 7:30 in the morning or what have you, I often try to bring them back and say, let's keep our eye on the end goal. You know, you wanted this kitchen, you've waited for this kitchen, we have planned for this kitchen. Let's get excited about the kitchen, or forget about the subcontractor or whatever might have happened in the morning. Mm-hmm. And have a positive attitude about it.
Yeah, and every listener out there can probably relate to this, where you maybe the contractor doesn't call you back, or they don't show up when they're supposed to, and that's definitely a big one. And or you maybe you've got a project going on, you wait a little bit of time before you visit the job site, and you walk in expecting to see a lot of progress, and all of a sudden there's no progress, and there's maybe some good reasons behind that. But if the GC is good at communicating and is keeping you up to date, you're not going to have, the homeowner's not going to experience those bad surprises where they're that starts to make their blood boil, and they start thinking about their budget, going over budget, and all that stuff.
Correct. Yeah, the communication it's preventing those maybe the bad sediments or what have you, which everyone can get. People are only human. It's human nature to be upset, get upset. It's you know our job to rise above that and not get upset.
Yep.
It's our client. We want them to get what they want and make sure that we're there to help them facilitate that throughout the process.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be incredibly challenging these days because there's a lot of demand by homeowners to build new houses and to remodel their existing homes. And on the flip side of that, there's shortages for subcontracting and material prices have gone up. And how does CK Contracting handle some of those challenges?
You're absolutely correct. Homeowners might be a little bit more demanding nowadays. That's today's world. They say it's a demanding world. And also, you're correct on the pricing as well. Homes are built with commodities. Everything is a commodity mm-hmm. that essentially goes into a house. So it's
lumber, drywall, paint.
Correct. Even the labor. Mm-hmm. The labor is a commodity as well. Subcontractors. If subcontractors have 1 year of work laid out before them, their prices are going to be more than if they have no work mm-hmm. before them. So it's very, very fluid, always moving. It's a moving target. It's a difficult business, like mm-hmm. I said earlier. But we try to educate the client the best we can. I tell them what I just told you, that, you know, homes are built with commodities. It's extremely difficult to quantify down to the penny on these things. With remodeling, we try to shoot high on our pricing and with intentions of coming in under budget. Mm-hmm. Not everyone does that. The industry typically works in reverse with that.
They want to get the job by giving the low bid. But then the homeowner only has $3,000 to go pick out their lighting or something, which is, you know, what one fixture might cost.
Correct.
So they ended up having to come out of pocket, and it ends up being, well, maybe I should have gone with that other bid that was more realistic.
Correct. And the point that you make is the allowance, $3,000 for lighting. I've had clients that can do an entire home for $3,000. I've had clients that would buy one fixture for $3,000. So that allowance component is extremely difficult. I often have people come up to me, probably more so new construction. They'll hand me a set of plans or even just, maybe not even a set of plans. They'll say a 2,000 square foot mm-hmm. house. How much can you build it for?
What's the cost per square foot?
Yeah, how much per square foot? And that's a loaded question. And then we'll go into detail about the allowances. I cannot speak for your selections. Mm-hmm. That's up to you. We try to give the price ranges on that. But the allowance is a big one. And then not only allowances, but some contractors. Yeah, their price might be lower with higher allowances, and then it still comes in higher at the mm-hmm. end for whatever reason. So we do our best.
A lot of that's the homeowner, too. You know, it's I picked up an expression when we were building our house 10 years ago that you can kind of lose control when you're spending hundreds like they're ones.
Yes, it all adds up. I get amazed at myself sometimes because when we price out a project, we have whatever 100, 130 line items that go into it. And if they're all 100 dollar line items that it equals to $100,000 by the time it's all said and done. And if they're all $1,000 line items, it could be $1 million. So,
and you're dealing with people's emotions because they're maybe building their dream house, and you know, to their dream has always been to have a metal roof, for example, and then to be faced with the challenge of you know, do I want to spend $25,000 on my roof, or do I want to spend $5,000 on my roof? And those are tough decisions when it comes to someone's dream.
Yes, people get emotional in this business. One, it's a lot of money. People get emotional about money. We all do. It's there again. It's human nature to do that. That's when we chime in again and we say, hey, let's focus on why we're here. What's our goal? Our goal is to get you this new kitchen, this remodeled kitchen. Let's, you know, keep our eye on the end prize. We'll work through these details of whatever, maybe you're over budget on your lighting fixtures, or what have you. We'll figure that out. We'll work through it. Keep your eye on the end goal.
And it sounds like something a psychologist would tell someone.
Yes. It's funny you say that. We did a remodel into last year. And when the guy moved in, he and I had a beer. And he said to me, he said, Chris, you have a real thankless job. And he said, there's so many different personalities you have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And he alluded to the point that he's like, you're part-time psychologist as well.
Right. Marriage counselor.
Yeah, marriage counselor. No, I'm sorry. I don't get there.
You don't
I
get
don't
into go that.
discrepancies between the husband and wife, I'll let them. I'm out of that one.
Sometimes you get dragged in, though. What do you think, Chris? he wants this and she wants that. So you make the decision.
Yeah. I will, when asked, I will definitely offer my opinion.
Your professional opinion.
Exactly. I'll just say it in a fashion like, well, if this were my home, mm-hmm. I would probably do it this way because of X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's the, you know, a lot of times the building a house or remodeling it goes back to the saying of happy wife, happy life.
Right.
So if the wife kind of can get, you know, her key points on of whatever she wants in the project, maybe a professional range or something like that, or professional appliances, and then a certain kind of tile backsplash, then everything is fine. Mm-hmm. And then the husband might save some money a little bit on the cabinets or something somewhere else in order to make those other things come to fruition for the wife.
Right, right. Give and take. There's always compromising going on between between the decision makers.
Yeah, there can be. It's also weighing out the options and facts and what have you. We will, CK Contracting, we often say to people, wants and needs. You said the metal roof earlier. That's a perfect example. I want a metal roof. Nonetheless, you need a roof, okay? And there's a $20,000 difference between your want and your need. So you gotta weigh out the facts. You gotta leverage the value of it.
You're gonna get an insurance break with that metal roof.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So there are some, and you're not gonna have to replace it for 50 years or whatever.
That metal roof will be around longer than you and I will.
Yeah. Well, you've shown those pluses and minuses to the people before.
Exactly. Yes. What,
do you have a preference on new construction or remodel projects?
We have a focus of getting more new construction. Right now we've got about 8 remodel projects going right now and 1 new construction project on the horizon. We like them both. We really do. They are similar, and then at the same time, very, very much different. Mm-hmm. It's the homeowner is sometimes living in the remodel, which makes the component much, much different. And
dust eaters. That's what we call them.
We will plastic and paper and cardboard a house. As much as we can.
Don't stay in your house if you've got a big remodel going on.
Yes.
You're going to see it, those, I know you're thinking about saving money and everything, but the constant trail of people who are coming and going and they've got work to do, and they're not going to always be the neatest. They'll clean up, of course, but there's going to be stuff that's going to happen that you really don't want to be present for.
You're exactly right. The whole house remodel, you're best off just moving out of it. I know it's difficult. Sometimes people can make it happen with relatives that live in town or something. They can stay with them, or a family member might have a rental house available for them, which makes it much easier. People, they also, if it's a whole house remodel, something that we specialize in, they're best taking all their furniture, all their belongings out of there as well. You're not going to save money by not getting a storage unit, because we're gonna be moving that stuff around the house. Mm-hmm. if it's in the way. So it's gonna cost to move things around, and it's gonna cost to have the storage unit too. But in the long run, get the stuff out of the way if you can.
Well, and I'll just throw in a something I say occasionally on the radio show, that if your house needs updating, if you're thinking about remodeling, do it now. Don't wait until you're getting ready to sell your house. There's a neighbor in our neighborhood that I knew they were getting ready to move, because they've painted the exterior of the house. They're doing all this work, and they're doing it to get the top dollar, which I understand. But why not do make that investment now? And you're going to get it back when you go to sell it. But you've got, think about all those years that you've been able to enjoy, and the special moments that you've had with your family in this brand new updated house that you won't experience until the end. And then you're going to be cutting corners and putting laminate floor in when that's not maybe what you would have bought yourself, and things like that. So
yes, I agree. Don't put it off. It's better to do it now. Enjoy it, and the next person will enjoy it as well.
You'll get most of your money, if not all of it, back.
Absolutely. Charleston market is always appreciating. So, you'll absolutely get it back. Your story reminds me of one gentleman. We looked at doing some bathrooms for him. And there again, going back to the emotional process, it's money. And people get emotional about money. That's the way it is, and nonetheless, he had these bathroom projects, and he's like, yeah, I'm getting prices, and I'm surprised at how much they are, and I have the conversation saying, these are all commodities that are building your remodel, and he said, well, yeah, I had gotten a much better price 4 years ago. And I said, well, why the heck didn't you go with it then? And this guy his family has been down to one shower. One shower's not working anymore. Right. So I could only imagine the shower might have been broken for, 8 years. I don't know.
Well, it's quality of life.
Exactly.
And you can have a much higher quality of life with that remodeled home than you would limping along with broken showers and other things that you have to turn a blind eye to on a daily basis.
Exactly. And the prices, they rarely go down.
Right. So. We're such a booming market. I don't know when we're going to see a repeat of 2008 again, where, you know, everybody was...
Not in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Where we won't see that again.
Commodities were a lot lower and labor was lower. That ship has sailed a long time ago. But Chris, how can folks get more information about CK Contracting?
Yeah, you could check us out on the World Wide Web at ckcontractingsc.com. That's SC for South Carolina. You could call the office at 352-4975. And yeah, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what you have as far as projects. And best of all, we would love to help you with those.
Great. Well, we have been talking with custom builder and remodeling contractor Chris Click with CK Contracting. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and today's radio show is coming to you from Wholesale Appliance Center and their big, beautiful showroom in Mount Pleasant, located at 3130 Highway 17 North. And now we're talking with Eugenia Marshall with Contract Exteriors. How are you doing, Eugenia?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Take a moment, Eugenia, and tell everyone about Contract Exteriors.
All right. So Contract Exteriors is a full exterior remodeling company. We specialize in roofing, siding, decking, windows, and doors, so the full envelope of the home. Mm-hmm. We partner with some of the top manufacturers in the industry, so we're able to offer our customers the best warranties in the business. Mm-hmm. So it gives them that peace of mind for years to come.
Excellent, excellent. What kinds of challenges do we have here in the Lowcountry when it comes to protecting the exterior of our home?
Right. So as you know, we live in very hot, humid, damp climate. So when you have traditional wood siding, decking, even just your asphalt shingle roofing, it takes the toll on those products. So what you should be looking for signs of roof damage that you may not even notice an existing leak, but it could be cracked shingles, granule loss, and these minor things could cause a major issue really quickly. Mm-hmm. As far as your siding goes, you want to look for any noticeable rot or cracking, peeling paint, things like that. If you have vinyl siding, you might have chips in it that can allow moisture behind your siding. One thing that Contract Exterior specializes in is the James Hardy fiber cement siding. Mm-hmm. So it resists rot, pests like termites, moisture penetration, and it really holds up well in our hot, humid climate here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was talking to architect Chris Rose recently, and he described the Charleston area as one of the harshest climates around. And people have a kind of a hard time grasping that because Charleston's so beautiful, and we have you know, it's nice and warm and mild in the winter time. And mm-hmm. but what he was getting at is that, just as you mentioned, it's very hot, it's very humid. We have salty sea air mm-hmm. that's present. We have hurricanes.
Oh yes.
And then we have we have earthquakes, or the fear of that another earthquake could hit Charleston.
Yeah,
again.
It's on that major fault line. Most people don't realize that.
Exactly, exactly. So protecting the exterior of your home, mm-hmm. that's critical, isn't it? Now you referred to the exterior as the envelope mm-hmm. of the home.
It is, and that's one thing that some people don't even think about, that this is really their number one investment. It protects them, it protects their family for years to come, and even if they were planning on selling it, it gives that value to the next homeowner. So you want to not just, you know, protect your home, but also offer that curb appeal mm-hmm. that a new roof or a new siding or even a new deck would give that opportunity for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When it comes to building decks for mm-hmm. homeowners, are they asking for traditional pressure-treated lumber, or do you have any alternative materials that that hold up a little better?
We do. So a lot of times we are replacing existing wood decking. Some customers want to go back with wood, but once we show them what else we have to offer, which is the composite or the fully capped polymer product, there's zero maintenance. It won't warp. It won't crack. It won't splinter. We can actually use hidden fastening systems on it so you don't have screws or nails that you have to worry about. It's cooler to the touch than a traditional wood siding. So while the pressure treated may initially seem more budget friendly, when you think about all the time and maintenance that you have to spend staining or painting it and then eventually replacing it, the composite and the polymer products actually are more, they make more sense.
They do, you're right. And when it comes to maintenance, everybody wants to be able to enjoy their weekends. They don't want to have to be doing all these projects around the house. And so we're seeing a lot more people going toward low or no maintenance products.
Correct. And that is in the beauty of, we partner with TimberTech Decking, and they offer that composite product as well as the PVC, where you just, you spray it off, you brush it off, you know, you sweep it, and that's it. You're not having to worry about pressure washing every weekend and restaining. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about the mold growth and the algae that you can get with traditional wood decking.
TimberTech, I think I remember seeing, they've got some great print ads that always mm-hmm. show these over the top decks and areas that they've built using the no maintenance TimberTech. Mm-hmm. Has Contract Exteriors, have you ever built one of those over-the-top decks for people?
We have. We've been anywhere from your oceanfront, thousands of square feet decking, out to just a backyard, walkout deck. So we cover all types of projects. Yes, we love to have those beautiful beach home projects to brag about, but we like to be able to accommodate all of our customers and fit mm-hmm. their budget and
sure.
their needs.
Oh, that's great. That's good to know, because I'm sure there's property managers and landlords and mm-hmm. so forth that are looking to protect their investments, and it may not be their personal home where they're looking to splurge on that. They mm-hmm. want good low maintenance options and that are budget friendly.
Well, and the safety aspect of it as well. You know,
we
see
true.
In the news all the time, deck collapses and injuries. And that's why it's so important to go with a fully licensed and insured general contractor like Contract Exteriors is, so you know that you have that peace of mind that your deck was constructed properly. You don't have to worry about that, especially for second homes or investment properties.
Right, that's true. Now, Contract Exteriors, you work directly with homeowers, so you'd pull the permits and everything.
We do. That's right. Yeah, we try to take all the pain and stress as much as possible out of a remodeling process. So we take them from start to finish. They meet with our remodeling consultants. They walk them through the process down to our project managers that are in the field doing the actual work. And then with the office people, we try to make it as easy as possible.
What happens when you run into maybe, as you start to maybe replace the siding or the decking, and you realize that there's some rot or some areas that need to be replaced? Do you have to call in another contractor to do that kind of work?
So that is the beauty about Contract Exteriors, is we do it all. We're not just a roofing company or a siding company, so whatever we find behind there, which unfortunately we do get rot behind siding or even roofing, we are able to address it with the homeowner. We'll show them, whether through pictures or bring them out and show them in person, this is what we're finding, this is what we plan to do to repair it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Now, I remember having a contractor was installing some hardy plank 10, 12 years ago, and he kind of got in a little bit of an argument with the other carpenter about the installation of that hardy plank. And one carpenter was saying, no, it needs to be, all the joints need to be really tight. And the other one would say, no, you need to leave a little bit of space. Do the contractors with Contract Exteriors, do your people go through any kind of special training with that?
We certainly do. So with all of our products and all of our manufacturers, not just the James Hardy, we do continuous rigorous training with the manufacturers. And if they tell us you got to hang it upside down and nail it backwards, they're the experts. We're going to do exactly what they say and how they tell us to do mm-hmm. it.
Gotcha. What about, does Contract Exteriors do any windows or doors?
We do. We also install windows, doors. We offer some great products and great lines that are really energy efficient, which is important, again, in this climate with Charleston. So we would be happy to come out. We offer free estimates, so we could meet all of the needs of the exterior of the home.
And any kind of protection for those windows from windborne debris or anything?
Yes. So Contract Exteriors only offers fully operable shutters, so hurricane shutters or Bermuda shutters, as well as the hurricane fabric that can be installed over the windows as needed.
Very good. Well, how can folks get more information about Contract Exteriors?
So we would love for you to give us a call. Our number is 843-884-7010, or you can go online, visit our website at contractexteriors.com.
All right, great. Well, we've been talking with Eugenia Marshall with Contract Exteriors. Thanks so much, Eugenia.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and joining us is Jennifer Berry Hawes. She's a winner of a Pulitzer Prize, a reporter at the Post and Courier, and she has a new book out about the Charleston shooting. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. You've written a book that's just been released about the Charleston Emmanuel AME church shooting. What's the name of the book, and talk a little bit about it?
The book is called Grace Will Lead Us Home, which is a line from Amazing Grace, which you'll remember President Obama famously sang at Reverend Clemente Pinckney's funeral. The book spans the time from the night of the shooting on June 17th, 2015, over 18 months through the end of Dylan Roof's federal hate crimes trial, and really wraps up at the end of the trial.
Mm-hmm. We're recording this interview on June 17th, which is the anniversary 4 years ago of the shooting. I can remember watching TV around 10:45 that Wednesday night when a crawl came across the TV talking about a shooting that had taken place, and they said it was in front of a church downtown. And we ended up staying up late. There was supposed to be a press conference, I think, at 11:30, and that got pushed. And finally, when the press conference did happen, it was shocking, just shocking, and especially because I have two daughters who attended the school right across the street, and you also had children.
Yeah, my two children also went there.
At what point did you decide I'm going to write a book about this terrible event?
Well, I had been covering the shooting for a while for the newspaper, and that September, I did a story about the survivors. It was the first time they sat down and really talked about what happened in the fellowship hall that night. You'll remember there were 12 people in the Bible study, and three of them survived. So two of them were adults, and I had done an interview with these women and written a story about their ordeal. And shortly after that, I received a call from a man who said he was an agent in New York, and he wanted to talk with me about a book. And I thought it was a hoax, honestly, so I deleted it. And then luckily he called back, and he said, you know, I've been reading some of your work, and I think you really should consider a book proposal. And at that point, it had been obvious to me for a few months that there was much more to the story than what we could cover in the newspaper. We would write stories more piecemeal, but that there was really a broader story about what the survivors were going through, the friction that they had with the church, issues over the donations, issues within families, that really this was a much richer, deeper story that reached a whole lot more people in our community than was obvious from more day-to-day newspaper coverage.
Mm-hmm. The book is excellent, by the way. I think I've only got about 40 pages left. And I couldn't put it down. It reads like fiction, but it's not. This all really happened in 2015, right here in Charleston. How did you make this book happen?
Well, I'm glad you said that, and I appreciate it, because I did want to write it that way. I wanted to write it as a story and not, a history account, although history is obviously an important player. But I did want it to read as if you were living these events with the people involved. It required just a lot of work, really meeting the survivors and the family members. You know, when you have so many people involved, you've got nine families and also one of the survivors, Polly Shepherd, who did not lose a family member in the shooting. So really you have essentially 10 groups of people and families really severely impacted. You had the church itself, all the first responders, the city. There are many, many people involved. So one of the biggest challenges for me as a writer was just picking who to focus on because there were so many people and so many wonderful people that it presented a really big challenge. And I knew that I wanted to include the survivors, and of course they're not always ready to talk about things, and so it just often required patience as well.
The subject matter obviously is incredibly sensitive. How did you manage to gather what you needed for this book, interviewing the relatives of the victims and the survivors?
Well, I would try to interview them basically as much as possible, but it also, to write this kind of book where you're walking with somebody, you just want to be physically present as much as possible. So I also just tried to spend as much time kind of being a fly on the wall or going to events that they were at, whatever they were willing to allow me in to do. And I'm very grateful to the ones who really, really opened their doors to me, because I realize, you know, that's a real big leap of trust to let somebody into your life that way who you don't really know. Now, I got to know them over time, but at first I didn't know any of them. So it was a matter of sort of gently asking, pressing a little, and then sometimes backing off when I sensed that they needed some space. It's pretty typical, really, though, for writing. I tend to write longer, more in-depth kind of newspaper stories anyway, so while it certainly wasn't as in-depth as this book, I've learned to kind of pace that way and press people when I feel like it's important, but then try to back off and be respectful of their space.
Yeah, you can tell that the survivors and the victims' families trusted you, and they clearly opened up about everything.
I think that's the most important part, because I didn't want to write a more superficial story that I kind of felt like, honestly, was already out there. I wanted to write something that was deeper and showed them as more fully formed characters, as complex people. You'll remember after the bond hearing, when there were five family members who spoke at that, and they spoke in words of forgiveness and repentance and grace, and it was a very inspiring moment. It was heard all around the country and really came to define the shooting. But what I saw on the ground was really much different. There were many family members who did not forgive the shooter, certainly not at first. Some of them still don't. Some of them don't intend to ever forgive him. There was conflict over whether to pursue the death penalty. There was conflict within families. And I wanted to show them all as complicated people, as we all are. You know, you and I are different people, and we would react to something like this differently. And that's okay. That's just part of who we are and being human and trying to deal with this kind of trauma. And I felt it was important to try to spend as much time earning their trust so that I could tell that story and they would understand why I wanted to tell that story. Because every time there's another mass shooting, there's another community of people dealing with the same kind of thing. It will look a little different, but within their lives, they're still dealing with the same kinds of trauma.
Speaking of that, the bond hearing, talk about the incredible impact of the words of forgiveness said to the shooter, Dylan Roof, by the family members of the victims killed.
Well, it's important to remember that the Emmanuel shooting happened in June, just 2 months after the Walter Scott shooting in North Charleston, which was when Michael Slager, a police officer, shot and killed an unarmed black motorist who was running away from him. That shooting was captured on cell phone video by a bystander and generated tremendous controversy and anger. So the city was already dealing with the tension of that when the Emmanuel shooting happened. So when the family members spoke those words, it really helped to assuage the anger and desire for people to lash out. That, and also there were quite a number of black pastors in town and civil rights activists who worked very hard to keep agitators who came to town from getting a foothold to get people to start rioting like we were seeing in other cities. So their words combined with the actions of those people on the ground really helped to keep our city peaceful. And so most people remember Charleston after that from either that bond hearing, or you'll remember there was a huge unity walk over the bridge that Sunday. Those two events really came to define the tragedy, but I think also played a role in people looking toward ways of trying to unify across racial lines, or at least to show respect and mourning to the families, rather than turning to violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like those words of forgiveness set a certain tone in the days and weeks afterward that are in contrast to what was happening in places like Ferguson, Missouri, and in other cities around the country where people were taking to the streets to protest shootings or killings of minorities.
I think it kept the peace then, but I think it also speaks to the other families involved. You know, Walter Scott's family also struck a similar tone in trying to keep people from rioting and waiting to see what happened with the criminal justice system and Michael Slager. And in fact, if you'll remember moving forward, Michael Slager's trial just happened to coincide exactly with Dylann Roof's trial. So while Dylann Roof's trial was happening in our federal courthouse right across the street in our county courthouse, Michael Slager was on trial. His trial wound up being held up in a mistrial. The jury couldn't agree. So again, we had concerns that those frustrations could boil over, that to many people, especially in the Black community, the idea that you couldn't convict him based on a video of the police officer shooting this man from behind several times. It generated concern that, again, we could see violence. But instead, Walter Scott's family, similar to the Emanuel families that spoke at the bond hearing, you know, asked people to be respectful and let the system work its way out. And indeed, Michael Slager later wound up getting a substantial prison sentence. And Dylann Roof, obviously, was given a death sentence.
Mm-hmm. What, in your opinion, has changed since the Charleston church shootings?
Well, in some ways, I would say not a lot. We certainly haven't seen any major policy changes that deal with things like gun violence or racial disparities, which are tremendous in South Carolina and beyond. But what we have seen are what I think of as more quiet, more interpersonal changes. One example I like to point to is there's a church called Mount Zion AME here in Charleston, which is the daughter church of Emanuel, and it's very nearby, a few blocks away. It sits right next to Grace Episcopal Church, an historic white church in the city. Well, those two churches got together and now hold a book study every Tuesday, where members of the two congregations who may not ever have met otherwise read books about race and discuss essays about race amongst each other. And it's a way for people to talk about the issues we face in a more honest way, to know each other as human beings. And it's not something that, you know, is going to, you know, like I said, change some sort of massive policy, but it's ways that people can know each other in ways that they previously didn't, and in the kinds of ways that keep us from really understanding one another, especially across racial divides.
Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely true. All right. Well, thanks so much to Jennifer Berry-Haas for taking time to talk about her new book, Grace Will Lead Us Home, The Charleston Church Massacre and the Hard, Inspiring Journey to Forgiveness. Thanks so much, Jennifer.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com, home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.